The whole month of September, we will kind of journey together in this topic of praise and worship, because that one practice, that one Christian practice actually was the one that we read from Acts chapter 2 last week. That actually, not only last week, 2 weeks ago. Let me see. The early church, when we start, you know, the church come into existence during the day of Pentecost in the year AD 33. So like long, long time ago. And then the Holy Spirit was poured down, and then the people start meeting together. And one of the big thing, or main thing, not big thing, but because everything else is big, but the main thing that they do is they like to praise. We talk about the six practices that the early church that they were doing and that we are still doing. You know what those are? Anybody remember the six? Number one is meet. Number two is eat. Number three is praise. Yeah, and then prayer, learning, and serving. So we'll concentrate on this praise. And for that, let's read again one more time, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, because this is what the early church is doing. Day by day, that means every day, as they spend much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home eat and ate their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. So we learn from this verse that daily they meet, and they meet in two places. Where are they? Home and temple. Now, this is significant. This is important for you to understand that the early believers, the early Christians, they actually did not set out to establish a new religion. Because they still go back to the same temple, and there's only one temple at that time, one temple in the city of Jerusalem. That is where the Judaism religion worship every time. So there's only one temple, and they went back to the temple. Even though they already received the Holy Spirit, they knew now that Jesus was the Lord, they did not set out to establish a new religion. They go back to the temple. And Judaism is a very temple-oriented religion. Temple-oriented meaning all their religious life is centered in the temple. They establish offering and sacrifice every certain time or season of the year. They have the priest to bring this offering, whether that is sin offering, peace offering, and whatever offering, the priest did it for them. And if they want to worship, they will go to the temple. Because it is a very temple-centered religion. But something happened in AD 70. I want you to remember AD 70. Not because it's good, but because it's bad. Because in AD 70, the Roman Empire feel threatened by the Jews. Because, again, the Roman Empire at that time was just like America, you know, very superpower in the known world at that time. So they felt threatened. They think that the Jewish people is going to rebel. And so they crushed Jerusalem. They went into Jerusalem. They crushed the temple. That temple is being destroyed. So what do you do if you are a Jewish person? This is such a huge thing that the temple that they base, they center their life of worship and community and culture, now is no longer, it's like, that's just crazy in their mind. What do you do? Of course, you cannot burn an animal in your own home. If everybody is doing the same thing, you know, because that's what they do. In the temple, they bring pigeon or you know, calf or lamb, and they burn it. That's what they do in the temple. So what do? If you don't have a temple, place that you can burn this animal as an offering, it's not possible to burn it in your own home. What if the whole Jerusalem who believe in God and do the same thing? And in fact, that's a lot of people who believe in Jehovah God. You cannot, you know, every household in every house start burning animals, and before long, the whole city is going to be on fire if you do that. But that is the problem, big problem for them, because they didn't know what to do. And what about these people who now lost their place of worship? I mean, you can imagine the magnitude of this problem. You know, each one of you have a place to stay tonight, right? Either that's an apartment or it's a house that you have. And you build your life around your house. Why? For example, you would sleep in your bed tonight, you know, about 3 a.m. in the morning, you will climb into your bed and then you're ready to sleep, right? Again, nobody gets my joke, that's fine. You know, a student, 3 a.m., right? But anyway, you go there and then you sleep and then, you know, I mean, that's, you don't go to sleep in the kitchen, you go sleep in the bed because you built your ritual around. Before you go to sleep, you brush your teeth for the majority of us, you know, except the person next to you. But you just brush your teeth, and then you have the ritual. Tomorrow morning, you wake up, and then you go to the restroom, and so on and so forth. You do things that is used to. But what if tonight, when you go home, after the church, you find that your place is burned down? What do you do? Almost, and yeah, well, you can say, yeah, I'll just go to the hotel. But hotel is not your life. And it is temporary. This temple was destroyed, never built again. Until today. That's just a temple that Herod built. And that's why you can understand the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, until today, they want to built that temple. The temple now is a mosque in Jerusalem. That temple is the source of conflicts for thousands of years already because the Jews try to take over that mosque and rebuild the temple. Why? Because it's a very temple-oriented religion. But then, what is Christian to do? Well, the early church fathers actually already figured this out. What he's saying is this. It's no problem. It's the worship that is important. And by the way, Paul said, your body is the temple of God. You don't really need to go to a building because your body is the temple. And who is the sacrifice? What is the sacrifice? It is Jesus because he is the Lamb of God. So the worship now does not necessarily have to happen in the temple in Jerusalem, but each one of you now is a temple where the suffering already been sacrificed once and for all. His name is Jesus, he is the Lamb. You just need to perform the worship. He figured it out. Paul, Rafi Zacharias, one of the well-known theologian, says this, the Christian takes temple with him or her. Jesus lifts us beyond the building and pays the human body the highest compliment by making it his dwelling place, the place where he meets us. Now this, if you understand this, this is very important because there was a time when people said, hey, it's your body is corrupted anyway. It is not worth to be offered into, you know, for God. You know, I mean, the most important thing is your heart and your spirit. With your heart and your spirit, you worship God. Your body, whatever your body is doing, you know, it doesn't matter. But Paul teach that your body is a temple of God, sanctified by the blood of Christ. That is the place where you worship. Your body can be used to worship God. So today I want to just bring in one principle to each one of us for the praise and worship topic. And this principle is this, that worship is an act of sacrificial giving. Borrowing from the picture of what happened in the temple of the Old Testament. By the way, people, the early church, the early Christian, they did not know what it means, Old Testament, New Testament. At that time, they didn't try to establish a new religion, and they didn't know whether they are living in the Old Testament time or New Testament time, because to them, this is all the story of Israelite, starting from their father Abraham, 1,800 years BC. Until that time, they are still one continuation of the history and story of a nation. Until today, they are Jewish people. There's no such thing, Old Testament, New Testament. We Christian have our Bible divided Old Testament, New Testament. Before Christ, after Christ. Right? But for these people, they don't know what it means. And so, let's look at this worship as an act of sacrificial giving, as a continuation of what Old Testament people have been doing. By the way, the Old Testament people has been doing worship from the beginning of time. Even the time of Adam and Eve, if you remember Cain and Abel. How many remember Cain and Abel? They worship God. The offering of Cain was rejected. The offering of Abel was accepted. And the time of Noah, as soon as they came down, Noah and his family came down from the big boat, what did they do? They built an altar to worship, right? So worship is not a new thing. Worship is a part of the whole Bible story. And so today we're going to talk about worship as an act of sacrificial giving, borrowing the picture in the Old Testament of this animal sacrifice, which now is Jesus, is the Lamb of God. So for that, let's read something together in 2 Samuel chapter 24. I'm going to read it to you, but before I read it to you, I will give you the context of what is going on. And so this is in the time of David. And David has many, many stories in his life. Very, very interesting, this guy. And David did something wrong. He did a census. And why he did wrong, that is a subject of another lesson, Bible study or preaching. But to make it short, David did something wrong, and then he repented, and then God, through the prophet, tell David, okay, fine, you repent, but this is what you do. You build a temple. You build an altar to worship me. And so David said, fine, I'll do that. And so David set out to find a place where he will build this altar. And so he came upon the place owned by the guy named Aranoa. So here it is. And then, so he went to Aranoa's place, David. And Aranoa said, why has my lord, the king, come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord so that the plague, which is the punishment that is going on at that time, may be averted from the people, maybe lifted up, maybe no more. Then Aranoa said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. So I just want to tell you a little bit about what threshing floor is. Threshing floor is a place where a farmer will bring weeds, and just that you're clear, the weeds is not already come in the flower, right? The weeds are seeds. You know, you pick it up from the farm or the plantation, you bring in, that is like ilalang, you know, weeds. And from the weeds of the wheat, you come out that little thing that you have to grind into flour. But anyway, to take out from the ilalang to the seed, gabah, you have to put it on the floor and put a wood on top of it, and then have this oxen, which is the kerbau, you know, pull the wood to grind the thing, and then out come the wheats, gabah. Okay? So what is this man doing is, David wants his property, but instead of only offering him the property to build the altar, this guy is offering his whole livelihood. He said, not only I'm giving you the property, I'm giving you the oxen, and I'm going to also give you all the woods that right now is on the oxen's yoke, you know, to tie the oxen to the circular thing. It's a circular system. I'm giving you everything because you want to worship God. And what did David said and respond to that offer? This is all this, O king, Arauna gives to the king. I'll just give it to you. And Arauna said to the king, may the Lord your God respond favorably to you. I understand that you want to make an offering. But then what did David said to Arauna? This is what he said. The king said, no. I know what you're doing. No, I don't want this thing for free. But I will buy them for you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. I know this is an offering. And I know you are going to steal my blessing by giving it to you. It is not your offering because it is my offering. I have to pay something. That's what he said. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offering, an offering of well-being. So the Lord answered his supplication for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. This is a very wonderful story about building an altar of worship. We see here there are two very, very generous men that understand the principle of worship. Both of them are very generous. Arauna, generous man, because he's ready to sacrifice everything to worship God. But David knew that worship is personal. It is not something that you can just transfer and have other people do it. For David, if he worship God, it has to cost him something. He refused the gift. I will not offer something to the Lord that cost me nothing. Because worship that is true will have to come with sacrifice. Loving God and worship are very close relatives. And here we learn about the term sacrificial worship. Worship is an expression of our love toward God. And if the nature of true love is always sacrificial, then the nature of true worship is also sacrificial. Worship has to cost you personally. You cannot let the musician and worship leader in front do it for you. It is not transferable. You cannot just employ other people to do the worship for you. Worship is an expression of sacrificial love. You know, sacrificial love. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice is giving up something that you want to keep. That is sacrifice. When you have to give, but you want to keep it actually, you are not that willing, sacrifice is needed. That is sacrifice. The act of giving up something that you want to give. And as far as worshiping God, an act of worship, sacrificial love is giving beyond your normal comfort. Giving beyond your normal comfort. An interesting conversation happened during our care group family. You know, our family care group is a blast. It's so much fun to be with. I don't know about you. How is your care group? Is it so much fun also? How is a care group in PH? Is it fun? Okay, all right. Not that fun. I mean, come on, where is the mentors? Make it more fun for them. How about Berkeley care group? Is it fun? Okay. Well, family care group is so much fun, you know. The conversation is spicy. You know, spicy? You know what spicy means? It starts with an S, but spicy, right? You don't know that, but that's okay. But it is spicy. It's spicy. So last week, the topic in the care group, let me just bring the story of family care group. You think family care group is boring? You're so much wrong, you know, because we eat good food and the topic of the conversation is all about sex. But anyway, oops, anybody under 18 years old here? But anyway, the topic last week the topic was women's need. Remember? Okay, this is important. Woman's need. So we watch 15 minutes of video, and then we sit around in the circle, you know, into two different groups, or three different groups, or two. And then we go through the questionnaire. And one of the question is this. Remember, the topic is woman's need. And by the way, we found out, the husband found out, that the biggest need of the woman is for the wives is that they want their husband to communicate. It's open and honest communication. They like, because usually husband come home, how is today? Fine. What did you do? Nothing much. You know, all short thing. Women's more want more detail. They want the feeling. You know, I mean, like, who do you meet? Just the same people. and you know, the wives wants to know, how do you feel about what you, you know, what you talk about and all the feeling, and the man is very short, you know, and all that thing. So one of the biggest need we learn is that women wants more communication. So anyway, we sit around in a circle, and then one of the questions that we have to go answer was this. Husband, why was it hard to love your wife sometime? Why was it hard to love your wife sometime? And then, you know, somebody in our circle immediately say, it's not hard. What are you talking about? It's our wife. It's not hard. And then I agree. Yeah, it's not hard. I never feel anything. It's not hard. Just love my wife. And then we are ready to move on to the next question. I remember that question was number two. We are ready to move to number three very, very quickly. This question is just like not important, and just like be there just so that we see it. You know, it's not hard to love someone, you know. And then my old wife stopped us. Wait, let's read it again, the question. Now read it one more time within the context of what we are talking about. Women's need, right? Now I read it again and read it again, and I suddenly realize it's not hard for me. Why it's not hard? Because I'm only doing what I'm comfortable with. There's no sacrifice. Why? I'm just loving. I mean, like, you know, I'm doing whatever, you know. But whether my love can be felt with my wife, that is a different story. Because in the context of the class, that woman wants more communication. But I may not give what she needs, but I'm only giving what's comfortable to me. There's no sacrifice. Now, if the question is more clear, why is it hard to love your wife when she demands communication? I will think about it more carefully. Yes, it is hard to love, to give something that is out of our comfort zone. But this is the thing. Love is sacrifice. When you love, you sacrifice. Worship is an expression of love to God. When you worship, you sacrifice something that is beyond your comfort. And because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, this means something. This means you are to make worship happen in your body. And what it means is this. If I understand that worship happened in me, that I am the temple, that Jesus is the lamb of the sacrifice, whenever I come to church every Sunday, I will make sure worship happen in my body. And I will not care what the person on my left or my right is doing, because I want to make sure this temple has some worship in it. Because now worship is being franchised out from that one central location in Jerusalem. Now it is being distributed to every believer, every child of God. Now you are a temple. You make sure every week worship happen in your body and your life. When you come here, make sure you don't just stand in the back, because worship needs to happen in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is sanctified by the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus, so that worship of God can happen in your life. How many understand this? And if you understand this, you will stand there. You make sure worship happens, because now you are the priest. You are the priest. And you have this sacrifice, which is Jesus, that you are going to give unto God again your life. If you come to the church and you don't worship and you go home, worship did not happen that week in your life. Something that needs to happen did not happen. And what it means also, this. When I come with an attitude of worship needs to happen within me, I will care very, very little what happened in front of me. As far as whether the song is good or something that I like or not, whether the worship leader messed up or not, or the song is too long or too short, because I don't care about that, because I care that worship happen inside of me. And I will not care much whether that they are singing my favorite songs or not. They may sing the song that I like, or they may sing the song that I don't like. But that the point is, worship must happen right here when I come to church. Because now the temple is no longer in Jerusalem, but we are the temple, Paul said. And that will cut down my need to go to concert like Hillsong. Unless I understand that I go there to bring my worship. Because worship is not a performance. Worship cannot simply be about singing the songs we enjoy or doing our favorite activities. If that's all there is to it, just enjoying the song and singing the favorite tune and the beats, then ultimately something that is ultimately something that we do for ourselves. It's not for God. By making ourselves a living sacrifice, we remove ourselves from the equation and discover a worship that is grounded in Christ. We remove ourselves. We don't care anymore what we like and we don't like, because this is a sacrifice of worship. We're lifting up God and we're giving Him everything that is we are. Worship should be an activity that is teaching us humility. It is not just like, oh, I like that song. Worship leader messed up. Ah, too long. Singing too long. I already know the word and I'm bored with it. You're judging the songs. You're judging the music. But worship did not happen. So why you are coming to church? Because when you come to church, worship needs to happen. You are the temple, the only temple right now. You are not even going to Jerusalem. There's no such temple anymore. You are. The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian. Unselfish Christian in the service. Billy Graham said that. The highest form of worship is when you forget about yourself. When you forget about your need, what you like. All you want to concentrate is, God, you are the center of my worship. I'm giving you my life. I'm holding a service right now in my life. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, we are holding service, obviously, in the church. You know, there are orders. But within me, I have order too. I love to worship, not because I love to worship, but not because I love to sing. If you don't know, I have a sore throat since yesterday. And I preach already in the morning. But I sing as loud because it is for my God. I mean, if your ministry in the church is speaking like this, this is your main tool. It's like, you know, if you're a runner, you have injury in your feet, then you cannot run again. But I believe God give me extra grace. I'm just shouting to you right now. But it's hurting there. But that is a worship, is sacrificial giving. So I want to end by doing this. And this is my end. I read the Bible. I collect all the verses. Remember, I'm talking about my body here. Worship is not only the heart, although it starts in the heart. Worship is my whole body. And in the Bible, I read it, every part of my body can be used for worship. So I'm going to display to you the verses that show different parts of our body participate in the act of worship. And for some of you who are not coming from charismatic or the church like us, this may be a surprise to you, but I believe this is what the Bible says, and the Bible is right. I don't care about human tradition. So let's look at it. Giving ourselves to God in worship. The first one is the easiest one, or actually the hardest one, depending on how you look at it. But for some of you, this is the easiest one, because turns out silence, you know, not saying anything, not doing anything, just stand there, actually is a form of worship, as long as your heart have turned to God. And I think this will give you, some of you, I'm worshiping God too, even though I don't sing anything, you know. But Brother Bob point out, you know what? Silent is one of the hardest. Pastor, you put it on the wrong order. Because, you know, to be silent and to worship, that is toughest. Because sometimes your mind goes everywhere. You cannot be silent. But, you know, just from the outside look, you know, I don't know. The worship leader doesn't know, you know. So the worship leader, even though she saw you not singing, you can argue, I'm worshiping, because the Bible says, right? Silence. Psalm 46, verse 10, he said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted in the earth. The next one, and as we go through this, this is increasing in not complexity, but sacrifice. Now, singing. It's still okay too, singing, you know. Singing is easy, and a lot of you sing, no problem, because nobody see you when you sing, you know, in out of tune. Psalm 18, verse 49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nation of Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. So singing is definitely a worship. Okay, what is a little bit harder than singing? Clapping and shouting. I want to reveal to you that not all churches clap. In fact, until today, many, many church, I would say not many, but, well, in terms of number of believers, this is huge. But they don't clap. They sing a hymn and they play piano. Nothing wrong about that, because singing is, of course, a worship. But I want to let you know, clapping and shouting is also biblical. Listen to this. Psalm 47, verse 1b. Come, everyone, clap your hands. Nothing can be clearer than that. Right? Shout to God with a joyful praise. Let me tell you, shouting is also okay. If you feel excited about the song that you sing, go and shout a bit. Of course, don't shout during worship, in, you know, like during praise. It's okay to shout. There's a timing. There's a timing. You can shout in church. What's more difficult than silence, singing, clapping, and shouting? We're moving. Huh? That's, you know, close, lift it up our hand, yeah. Let me tell you, lifting up our hands is also in the Bible. Okay? Lifting up hands, that is in Psalm 63:4. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I mean, our younger generation, newer generation of Christian nowadays think, oh, you know, it's not so not cool. You know, the cool one is they want to jaim, you know, jaga image. You know, I'm cool guy, you know, whatever, you know, don't care, you know. I mean, for some reason, a don't care guy kind of look cool. You know, pretty girl, I don't care, I'm cool. And then they brought that to the church. And the church, I want to jaga image lah. Nanti orang lihat, you know, people look at me. Oh, angkat tangan. You know, it's just like not cool. But we are not into coolness. We're into sacrifice. Worship is a sacrifice. You do things beyond your comfort for the God that you love. So, lifted up hands already. What is a little bit more difficult than that? Kneeling. Kneeling is also in the Bible. Kneeling. So next time when you see the person next to you kneel, don't look at them weird, okay? What are you doing? You know? I mean, kneeling is in the Bible. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. Kneeling. See, this is different parts of your body, and you will say, I'm not comfortable with all that. Exactly, that is why it's called sacrifice of praise. It's giving up something that you want to keep. You want to keep your coolness. You want to keep your comfort. But for the person that you love, you want to go beyond what is comfortable. Just like with my wife. Oh, I'm fine. You know, I have no problem loving her. You know, I'll just bring the money home, you know, every time. You know, that's enough, right? Well, your wife can justify probably, you know, yeah, okay, my husband loves me. But it will be nice if he talk more. And to God, God says to you, of course, you already believe in Jesus. That's good, lah. But the point is, you want to bring pleasure to the heart of the Father. You are the children of God. You bring pleasure or not? Or you just want to keep your coolness? God is calling each one of us. Come on. These are all in the Bible. I'm not making it up. It is not the tradition of our church. It is in the Bible. Singing new songs. And I'm not talking about learning new song. I'm talking about song that come out from your heart. The keyboardist or the musician is playing a certain chord. You never learn a song. But maybe suddenly the Holy Spirit put into your mind a verse that you just read yesterday. And then out of your mouth it come a melody that sing a new song. I mean, there's a different time. And I will teach about this. But this is an expression of worship that I want our church not to, you know, not to just disregard. Because this is in the Bible. Hello? Sacrifice of worship. And all of this, by the way, this is Old Testament, New Testament. Again, there's no such thing. It's just a one continuation story of the people of God. So I want to close with this. Would you affirm your love to God by doing sacrificial act of worship? Do you realize that if you don't worship, if you hold something good from God, you know, my wife always tell my boy, because my boy, I always like to kiss him and hug him, and of course, he's being a teenager, he didn't like that, you know. Like, I don't want that, you know. I love you, you already know, I don't need that kiss. And then, and my wife always said, you know, the name of the guy, the boy. And then he said, don't hold something good if you can give it out. Don't hold something good if you can give it out. Give it. I'm, of course, yeah, give it. Because I'm happy. Right? But the point is, don't hold something good. If you know that you can please bring pleasure to your Father in heaven, come on, give it. Move up. If you are silent so far and that's good enough, then do a little bit more extravagance. Sing. If you already sing, clap. If you already clap, shout. If you already shout, lift up your hand. If you already lift up your hand, it's not weird to kneel. It's not weird to sing a new song. You can do that. Will you give yourself to God a little bit more? Bring pleasure. Be passionate people. Be passionate children about praise and worship. Will you go beyond your usual comfortable way of worship into an extravagant way of loving? Loving your God, the one who died for you, who gave himself for you, who lift you up from sin and make you the way you are today and will make you better and better. That is the kind of God that you are serving and worshiping. Hallelujah. Let's invite the musician and let's invite our brother Josh. Just lead us into worship. And as you worship, realize this. You are a temple. Make sure your temple is the best temple among all the temples that are present here. We're all temples. Let's make sure that the worship of God happen in your temple.
Amen. There's a cool thing I heard the other day. It was, some people don't like the songs, don't like the melodies, but the fun part is, who cares? It's not for you. It's for God. The songs you sing, the sacrifice you give, the offerings, the worship, it's for God. It's not for you. Amen. Let's just join and let's all stand together as we just really just dial into God's presence. We talked about sacrifice of worship. We talked about singing, about lifting our hands, about giving up ourselves unto the Lord, that our life is a sacrifice to God. Let's just sing the last song.